All right, what is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the Massive Breakdown Podcast. This is episode 45, coming to you on Memorial Day week. We are actually going to do a little mini breakdown this episode. We actually kind of thought about not doing an episode this week since we know a lot of people are spending time with their families. We certainly were with some family and friends. So we did not record Monday night like we normally do. We're recording Tuesday night. And basically, all we're going to talk about tonight is how we are preparing for Destiny 2. And by that, we know that a lot of changes are coming to Destiny 2. There's some weapon changes, some, you know, loadout changes, some perk changes, some cooldown changes. And it was actually a little bit jarring to jump right into Destiny 2, having played Destiny 1 and experienced a lot of things that are different. So what I've started doing in the Crucible is actually started changing my playstyle, changing my loadouts to make it an easier transition for me into Destiny 2 so I get a little bit of a head start. But first, let's get the introductions out of the way. I am Mercules, as always, and joined, as always, by Kit Kutcha. How are you doing tonight, Kit?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. Like you said, been a busy time celebrating the holidays with family. I've actually got family staying with me right now, so this is totally going to be a PG episode for me. And hopefully a fairly on-point one, because I've got a limited window tonight, but I'm very excited to be here and be able to share a little bit of time this holiday week with you guys. How are you doing, man? I know you got pretty busy this weekend, it sounded like.
Yeah, I was extremely, extremely busy. We flew down to Key West from my home in Jacksonville on Saturday morning, bright and early. Immediately started partying Saturday, rented a boat on Sunday, got out, and I'm incredibly sunburned right now. I'm sure I'm going to start peeling in not too long. And then flew back Monday morning, hungover as hell, and I struggled all day yesterday and basically struggled a day until I went on my daily run. And now I feel a little bit better. And the thought of talking about Destiny, as always, has give me some adrenaline shots, and I'm ready to go right now. So I'm feeling a lot better than I was when I talked to you earlier today.
That's awesome, man. I'm glad to hear it, because I know you were definitely feeling the burn. I guess literally, I didn't realize you got burned that bad, but I got a little sun myself this week, so I know what you're going through. Well, let's dive into it. I know you had some tactics that you've already started putting into play, and you've really got my brain going into overdrive on how I can take advantage of those things as well. So
yep, so we're gonna actually cover a few different things that I noticed in my time playing Destiny 2, specifically the PvP, that were drastic changes that I had noticed even more strongly when I came back to Destiny 1 and I realized I could do them differently in Destiny 1. So we're going to break them into a couple of parts. There's going to be perk selections for the subclass. There's going to be weapon loadouts. And we're also going to talk a little bit about the way intellect, discipline, and strength work now, those ability cooldowns. So one of the first things I want to talk about is the way I've changed my weapon loadouts. Now, we all know that there are no longer special weapons. There are two primary slots, and then there's a power weapon slot. And the primaries are submachine guns, which are basically 102 ARs that do even less damage than they do now. Sidearms, which do not do nearly as much damage as they have now. Hand cannons, pulse rifles, scout rifles, auto rifles. The normal primaries plus sidearms, basically, is all that it is. And you get two slots for those. One of them has an element, one of them has kinetic energy. Those things, as of right now, we're not going to be focusing as heavily on. And then the power slot, you've got rocket launchers, you've got swords, you've got snipers, shotguns, fusion rifles, and it actually looks like LMGs or heavy machine guns are gone from the game. So I don't believe they're there anymore. And I believe the reason why is because they would be totally and completely broken in this system. It's pretty hard to balance an LMG, something that relies on having a lot of machine guns, by not giving it that much ammo. It either makes it useless to use or way too powerful if it has enough ammo. So moral of the story is what I've started doing in the Crucible, what I've started working myself towards, is developing a loadout that I'm not going to have to change very much when I go into Destiny 2. And it might not be the perfect loadout. Fortunately, in this meta, it actually kind of works out to be a pretty decent loadout. But what I'm saying is you're going to pick a normal primary weapon, pick a hand cannon, a scout rifle, pulse rifle, and auto rifle, whichever one you want, doesn't matter, because all of those archetypes that we've seen so far, at least vestiges of them, will be available in Destiny 2. And then in my secondary, I'm just using a sidearm. That's what I'm doing. I'm not using a shotgun. I'm not using a fusion rifle. I'm not using a sniper rifle. And I'm pretending that I'm just running, you know, double primaries, basically. What will be double primaries in Destiny 2? And then in the heavy slot, all I'm sticking with are rocket launchers and swords. And maybe sleeper simulant when I get really bored and I want to change it up. But that's basically it, because that's a loadout that I will be able to take right into the Destiny 2 beta with zero changes.
I think that this is a fantastic idea, and I personally am definitely going to be doing the same thing. I hadn't really had a chance to sit down and start thinking about this, and obviously you kind of got that hands-on, I think that mental, like, whoa, this is going to be different. Got to start preparing for it. I think that's awesome, and I'm going to learn from it. I hope that everybody listening does as well. A couple of thoughts that I had about this as I was kind of mulling it over today. If you really like sidearms, obviously just play with whatever your favorite one is. You know, if that's wormwood, as it is for many people, as it is for me, fantastic. You're all set. On the other hand, if you're not a big fan of sidearms, you've avoided them so far, you run snipers, you run Icebreaker, along with, you know, 50% of people playing PvP right now, you run some other weapon, whatever it is, I strongly encourage you to consider doing this, switching over to a sidearm just to get yourself in shape for Destiny 2. That beta is going to be here before we know it. And if you really just don't go in for those fast-firing sidearms, try a Crow's Eye or a Teacup Tempest. That's going to give you a much more hand cannon-like feel. I really find that when I'm running Crow's Eye, it's very easy for me to just play it like a hand cannon. Even with the special ammo limitations, as long as you're stopping to pick up a special box here and there, you're not going to run out. And if you've got a solid weapon to switch to, either a long-range weapon or a shotgun, and I guess in this instance, it would be a long-range weapon, right? You would choose a scout or you would choose a pulse rifle to complement that Crow's Eye. And then you'd have your two primary setup going to be very similar to what you do in Destiny 2. So I think that's brilliant. I'm really looking forward to jumping in and doing that. And I totally agree about the heavy. It's very likely that shotguns, snipers, and fusion rifles, which we all know are going to be in that power weapon slot, they're all going to feel really different in Destiny 2. I have no doubt that there's going to be some significant changes to the way those guns work. And it's probably not a good idea to invest too heavily because we know that ammo is going to be limited.
In my experience with those, the sniper rifle they gave us felt very weak. And I know some people are going to be like, oh my God, well, Hush killed it with a sniper rifle. Well, Hush is an extremely great player, and he is far from what I would call average. He is an outlier. And I watched his gameplay. I know for a fact he damn well killed it. And there were several other players out there who did too. Luminosity played very well with a sniper. But those players are as pro can be, basically. And in my experience as a good player, not anywhere near their level, the sniper was underwhelming to me. The fusion rifle seemed a little bit more powerful than the fusion rifles we have right now. But the moral of the story is those guns are going to be so totally different. And you don't have to run primary sidearm heavy. But if you actually want to start practicing and playing and trying to make it feel like Destiny 2, you're going to want to only limit yourself to using one power weapon at a time. What I mean by that is don't go with a sniper rifle and a rocket launcher and have ammo for both of them, because that's just what Destiny 1 is right now. Destiny 2 is not like that. You get one or the other. So even if you want to forego the second, you know, primary, you don't want to use a sidearm. You want to use your normal primary, a sniper rifle. And you don't have to worry about switching to a rocket launcher, or switching to anything like that. Then just use one at a time, but really try to focus on that, because that feeling was a kick to the gut when I switched to my secondary for the first time and didn't have a sniper rifle. Or I switched my rocket launcher and that was all I had besides a primary. Like, it is a slightly limiting factor, but you'll find that, especially if you're playing custom games with friends and they're running the same routes you are, they're doing the same things, playing by the same limitations, you'll find that it's actually quite enjoyable. And you're fortunate at this point in time that sidearms are kind of powerful enough in the meta to where you're not actually going to be handicapping yourself. You know, if you use any primary that you want, a sidearm and a rocket launcher or sword, you can actually be competitive in most, if not all, game types of that loadout. So you don't have to really hurt yourself that much. And I like what Kutch said about changing up the archetypes. Even though an archetype might not be powerful right now in Destiny 1, it may feel more similarly to the archetypes do in Destiny 2. For example, mid-impact hand cannons right now are king. But it looks like in Destiny 2, it requires 3 headshots to kill or 2 headshots and a body shot. Maybe. We'll have to see. So what I might want to recommend is trying to use a low-impact hand cannon. Now, the rate of fire is going to be different, but the time to kill, the shots needed to kill, maybe a little bit more similar to something you're used to. So that's something to keep in mind. I'm not saying you have to do it. I'm not saying this is going to make you a pro. I'm just saying I'm doing it because I think it's going to give me a little bit of a head start on getting used to things when I jump into Destiny 2, because I'm telling you, it was a shock to the system going into the D2 PvP and having these things be totally and completely different.
Yeah, I can only imagine. And like I said, you really kind of bringing this up as a possible topic really got my gears turning as far as things that we can do. So I think that's fantastic, and I'm definitely going to be doing this myself. And I think especially in private matches, if you've got some friends who play Destiny, if you already have a clan, I know we're a little bit timely bringing this up because I think there was a recent post about unite the clans. There's a whole ton of posts out there about different clans that are always looking for new players. If you've never done that before and you want people to play with on a regular basis, I encourage you to start, hanging out with some of those clans and looking for a group, because it is totally worthwhile to have people that you can hop on and play small-sided matches with to try these things out. Especially if you want to try switching up the archetypes you play with, if you want to try high rate of fire hand cannons so that you have to kind of force that increased accuracy and maybe increase that effective time to kill, because while they can kill very fast, right, that's mostly not going to happen. You're going to have to pace your shots and land more of them. That's going to be a lot easier to do in a controlled environment where everyone else is trying to do the same thing, right? That's going to be rough in regular Crucible, but fantastic in a private match.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sacrificing my body here by going out into regular Crucible, but not that much, because I'm still using my primary of choice, which is the Chaos Dogma, yep. And it doesn't hurt me that much to run a Wormwood and then, a Steel Oracle rocket launcher. Also, I would stay away from rocket launchers that have grenades and horseshoes, because I'm willing to bet that that perk does not make a comeback in Destiny 2. So I would stay away from rocket launchers. I'm using one with cluster bombs right now. So I'm using Chaos Dogma, a Wormwood or a Jabberhockey, or even a Trespasser or something like that. And then I'm generally using my Steel Oracle with Tripod and Cluster Bombs, or I'll switch to a Sleeper Simulant if I really want to, or run a Sword. I haven't run the Sword, actually. I don't much care for a Sword in PvP, although it can be funny. And in Sleeper Simulant, it's kind of cheating because it's a fusion rifle in that slot, but it's a one-shot kill. But, I figure I'm handicapping myself enough that I can get away with that. But another thing you can try to do is you can just try to change the shots you take. So on a mid-impact hand cannon, if you don't want to switch to low-impact archetype, you can start going for triple headshots.
Yeah.
And you'll see how hard it is to hit those. Go for triple headshots, or if you miss a headshot, go for only body shots. That's what I'm going to say. Because 4 body shots is about what it seemed like I was killing most people in D2 with the hand cans. So either try to go for 4 body shots or triple headshots. If you miss a headshot, go for the rest bodies. And like Kutch said, you're going to be handicapping yourself against normal players in the Crucible, so I cannot stress enough, if you can get a few friends together and you can start running 4v4s on small to medium-sized maps in Destiny 1 and you start playing by these rule sets, you're going to have a very, very good feel for what Destiny 2's beta is going to be like based on what I've played so far.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I know you had some other thoughts about abilities, because those are really different in Destiny 2. Why don't you go ahead and sum up for us what you're thinking there?
So basically, one of the first things I noticed in Destiny 2, besides the obvious things, one of the first subtle things I noticed was that the ability cooldown timers were significantly higher. We're talking right now, I'm getting grenades in 25 seconds, melees in 30 seconds, and it seemed like it was closer to 40 seconds to a minute on everything. Like, I was legitimately feeling like it was 50 seconds almost every single time on average to get either one of those two abilities back. So what I'm going to say is I'm not going to say go all white or green gear, although at first I did suggest that, and I still think it's a good idea. I'm not going to necessarily say go that far, but I would say don't run anything higher than 4 on any of your intellect, discipline, or strength. I think you're going to be very shocked. And I've said this like 3 times now, but that's what it is. It's shocking when you expect to have your grenade back and you still have another 15 seconds left on it. And the big, big jump in cooldowns comes from tier 4 to tier 5. So what I would say do is avoid being over tier 4 on any singular cooldown, because I don't think it's going to help you. I think it's going to hurt you in the long run. Start getting used to not being able to spam abilities. I would not run anything that gives you double grenades. I would not run anything that gives you double melees, other than a couple of perks we're going to talk about later. I would go tier 3 or tier 4 across the board on every single thing and just leave it at that. And I know that's hard to do. If you can get triple 4s, do it. If not, try to go with a 3 and 2 4s, maybe a 3 on discipline because that one has a fast cooldown on its own, and then 4 on intellect and strength, and just stay there. All right, don't go 5. Don't give in to that because it's going to hurt you in the long run when you think you're going to have a grenade up in 25 seconds and you're still waiting for 40. So I think cooldowns are going to have a big, big effect on the gameplay, and you're going to want to get used to that now.
Yeah, I'll definitely say, you know, when I make changes to my ability selections, like if I'm trying to go for something specific, like I've been playing some Prison of Elders off and on, and if I'm trying to get a specific ability up to 5 and I'm maybe making sacrifices that I wouldn't normally make because I don't have a really good build for that, like intellect in particular, I don't tend to spec for. When I'm switching back and I don't have that ability up, it is like, I mean, it gets me killed a lot. When I've switched things up or I've thrown some gear on for some specific purpose and then I try to go back and all of a sudden my timer is 5 seconds slower than I'm used to. I'm trying to throw a grenade and it's not there. It's brutal. It's a really tough transition to make. You're right. It's time to start getting used to that. And I think I'll probably go a little bit further and say it wouldn't hurt to at least play a little bit with, say, all green gear or even mostly green gear. Because remember, we're going to be starting completely fresh. So, you know, when you guys were playing at the gameplay reveal, I think it's probably reasonable to assume that they had at least, you know, moderate or decent gear on your characters. Maybe it wasn't optimized or spec'd out the way that we as players are gonna spec it out ultimately. But I'm pretty sure that it wasn't like all white gear or all green gear with no abilities. And maybe we won't have that type of gear in Destiny 2. Maybe we won't have any throwaway gear like that. I don't know. None of us know. But I think it probably would be wise to assume that our first forays into PvE and PvP in Destiny 2 are not going to focus nearly as heavily on abilities as they do now, and maybe not even as much as they did at the gameplay reveal. So don't handicap yourself by relying so heavily on those abilities as we have. I mean, those are a big part of the meta right now, and it's time to start weaning ourselves off of that level of power, I think, and you know, at the very least, experiment with it. Get an idea what it feels like, because that feeling's coming back, and I'm excited.
In D2, it was less about who could use their abilities the fastest and more about who saved it for the right opportunity. Right now, I don't have to save my grenades or save my melees. I throw knives all over the place as a gunslinger. I throw grenades all over the place. I don't care. I know I'm going to have one back up by the time I really need one to engage someone. I'm never short on abilities to use. In Destiny 2, it is not like that at all. If you use your grenade, especially in Countdown, that's probably the only grenade you're going to get that round. So enjoy not having a grenade because you just randomly chucked one across the map trying to get a cool kill. Like, it's not going to happen. So, and it didn't seem like there were many perks that were giving you two melees or, you know, double grenades or anything like that. It seemed like if you got one, you got one. Like I said, they tried to take out a lot of the stuff that easily broke Crucible in Destiny 2. Things that regenerate ammo, things that give you double amounts of ammo or stuff like that. They tried to remove what seemed to be a lot of that. So you may want to think about that when you're choosing your perks.
That actually, just one more thing I wanted to emphasize about weapons. I mentioned this in passing earlier when we were talking about playing with sidearms or switching up the weapons you're playing out. I mentioned Icebreaker. But if you want to start prepping yourself for Destiny 2, or if you decide in the next couple of weeks that it's time to start making that mental transition, the first thing you have to do, if you are like a large number of Guardians playing PvP or even PvE, is put down Icebreaker. It's going to be painful because the gun is awesome. It's so much fun to use, and it breaks the meta, right? You don't have to pick up special boxes to use it. You're going to have to pick up power ammo to use a sniper in Destiny 2, so you really probably should pick a sniper rifle that you like and get used to picking up ammo to use it. You know, just throw that out there, and then let's jump back away from weapons, and I guess stick here on abilities. If I think I had some thoughts about some abilities to avoid, but did you have any further thoughts about timers or any of that?
No, not really. I mean, it's pretty basic stuff. Like I said, just avoid anything over tier four, and you should at least be close to it. But we're only telling you these things not because they're absolute hard and fast rules, and I do want to emphasize this. It's more of just like fun suggestions. I mean, Destiny's gameplay is probably as stale as it's ever going to be at this point in time, and I'm not saying like doing this is going to make you a god when D2 comes out. It's just going to be an easier transition for you, and it's something I'm doing myself, that I'm preparing myself for PvP by playing in this manner, because I think it's fun right now to try to make D1's gameplay as much like D2 as it can be. Now, is it as much fun when no one else in my game is doing that, and I'm getting, you know, a bunch of randies who are using things that will not exist in D2? No, it's not. But is it going to be fun when I hop into D2 and I'm very, very used to it my first couple of games, and everyone else is like still in, you know, in disbelief that things have changed? Well, that'll be a little bit more fun. So it's a trade-off. I'm challenging myself right now. I'm sacrificing a little bit for myself right now, and you guys are completely free to do the same. But, you know, if you don't have anything else to add on that, Kutch, I think we can just go straight into the subclass perk changes, because those are some huge, huge variances from the way we look at subclass perks right now.
Well, yeah, I guess I just wanted to say, I mean, you can really, kind of the way you put it is fantastic. You can think of this sort of like a permadestiny challenge for PvP, right? Because obviously you can't play permadestiny in PvP unless you are ridiculously good at this game, in which case you don't need any advice from me. You already know what you're doing far better. But I think it's a way to kind of make the game fun, and try something different. And obviously, like you said, nothing we're saying here is like, oh, you're going to be terrible at Destiny 2 if you don't do this. Maybe you won't be. Probably you won't be, because most of the people I've ever played with are awesome. But it is a mental exercise. And let's go on to those abilities now. I've waxed poetic long enough.
All right, let's do Gunslinger first, because that's the one that's near and dear to my heart. That's the one I'm maybe playing with. So we can start. Golden Gun is basically the same at its base. Grenades are basically the same. Trip Mine, Incendiary Grenade, Swarm Grenade. You can choose either of those. Jumps are basically the same. Triple Strafe, which is directional control or high jump. The third ability is Shade Step. But it only cools down every 15 seconds or so, which I'm honestly of the opinion it needs to cool down faster than that, because it's, in my opinion, the least useful of all of the situational perks or situational abilities that they were given. But that's a story for another time. We don't need to worry about that. Then we've got the 2-4 perk trees that you can basically choose one or the other. And you've got a couple of perks from here. Because of the way these things work, I'm just going to kind of tell you which perks line up with each one, if there is one that we have currently that lines up with something in the tree. You can pick and choose them as you may. I don't think you really have to go by grouping a four here and a grouping of four here, because I'm pretty sure that there are going to be some exotics that grant you some of these perks, so you'll probably still be able to have a couple from each tree. But before I even get into that, I want to say, do not try to play Night Stalker at this point in time and learn the Shade Step and everything like that, because everything else is going to be different, and we're not even sure Night Stalker is going to be coming back. And so we don't have to do this again with Warlock and Titan. We're not even sure Stormcaller and Sunbreaker are coming back. And based on the way Dawncaller looks, I would be willing to bet that Sunbreaker is not coming back. And same thing with Stormcaller, just because it seems like all the Taken King subclasses are probably gone.
Just to add on to that list, I would say it looks like Defender to me is being replaced by Sentinel. I don't think, you know, I know we saw Zavala throw up a bubble in the animation, right? But we didn't see any gameplay with any bubbles. So I have a feeling that maybe that game-breaking bubble is no longer going to be a thing in Destiny 2. Maybe, you know, obviously maybe we'll be wrong, but I would not count on that being in the game.
I would highly, highly suggest also not. Well, Blade Dancer is a little different. Blade Dancer and Arcstrider are actually kind of similar, but we haven't seen Arcstrider yet. We don't know exactly what perks it's going to come with. We don't know what bonuses the super is going to have. So for right now, if you're going to play a Hunter, I would stick with Gunslinger, because we know what we're getting. Similarly, if you're going to play a Warlock, we don't know what's going to be coming with Voidwalker. You can play a Sunsinger if you don't abuse the self-res, basically. You're not going to have the same super, obviously. But if you play a little bit of Sunsinger one way and then you play a little bit of Sunbreaker, you can kind of mesh those two together. Obviously, Sunbreaker is going to have different jumps and Sunsinger is going to have a different super and stuff like that. But you can kind of mesh those two together just a tiny little bit. Or if you really want to be a jerk, at this point in time, you can probably play Sunsinger with Fusion Grenades and pretend that the Fusion Grenades are your flaming like swords that are being thrown down, because they've got about the same amount of aim assist, and you can throw about as many of them
that during might be your fair. Super.
So if you really want to be a jerk, use Sunsinger and use Fusion Grenades and use a perk that gives you double Fusion Grenades and just really troll people. And then for Titan, probably play the Striker is what I'm going to say. Because like you said, we don't know the Defender's coming back. It looks very much like it's going to be replaced. And I'd be willing to bet it is too. But moving back to the Hunter. So we get to the Way of the Outlaw tree, which is the first tree. We've got Bombs for Bullseyes, which is Precision Hits Generate Grenade Energy. That's not going to be something that we have a perk currently like that in the subclass tree. You could probably just use any armor perk that gives you grenade energy, because Precision Hits you're going to be getting all the time. So we can count that off. And I noticed that it had a pretty significant effect. At least I thought it did. But when I didn't kill anyone in a round, it really did seem like it took me 50 seconds to get my grenade back. And when I did kill two people in a round, it felt like I was getting my grenade back in maybe like 35, 40 seconds instead. So I noticed it myself. Chain of Woe, precision kills increase weapon reload speed for you and also now for nearby allies. We do have Chain of Woe in the Hunter Gunslinger tree. It is actually in, I believe, the last slot. It's precision kills, increased weapon reload speed, stacks up to 3 times. So that's something you will be able to select. I would probably go with that. That's one of the ones I'm going to go with. Six shooter. Golden gun can be fired quickly up to 6 times. It has a shorter duration. Just use Acleophage Symbiote. Yep. Honestly, you'll get 4 shots and it'll knock a second off of it. It's not quite as bad. I think six shooter takes golden gun down to like 6 seconds and doubles the amount of shots you have, which is a really brutal change. But with Acleophage Symbiote, at least you can get 4 and knock 1 second off of it, which will kind of help you to get there. And then Explosive Knife, throw a knife at enemies that explode shortly after. So this actually does explode. Like, the knife hits the ground and it detonates with the force of a small bomb. And someone actually killed me with it when they threw it and it hit the ground and it blew up. We do not have anything like this on the Gunslinger tree. So you're not going to be able to, you're not going to be able to do anything with that one. That's just not going to happen.
I would just say, just go with the burning knife, so at least you're getting some damage out of it, so you can get used to aiming. I don't think you can really, like you said, you can't really do anything to simulate that on Gunslinger.
That's something totally different, which in my opinion was also really awesome too.
Looks awesome.
So then the unnamed tree, the second tree, we've got Line 'em Up, which is precision hits with golden gun, increases damage and extends its duration. I mean, we don't really have anything like that. We don't have combustion anymore, so maybe switch off that. And we talked about the ability cooldowns. We don't want to cool them down too much. So maybe go with Deadeye or, something like Keyhole. I don't know. We don't really have anything that does that. And that's not really a PvP perk anyways. It's kind of more PvE. Like, you're not too often aiming for the head with a gun that's a one-shot kill on the toe. It's just, especially with how quickly it goes away, even at its full 12 seconds, it still feels like it goes away very quickly. So that's not really something I'm too concerned about using. Crowd Pleaser, precision hits with golden gun, generate orbs of life for your allies. Again, that's more of a PvE thing than it is PvP. Gunslinger's Trance, enter a trance with each precision kill, reduces the cooldown of your golden gun. So we do have Gunslinger's Trance, but what it does right now is it actually increases the weapon stability. So what I would do if I were you is maybe take Gunslinger's Trance and combine that with Gunfighter, which decreases the cooldown of Golden Gun just by default by a flat 30 seconds, and then pretend like those two are one perk. Or maybe if you can't get yourself down to tier 4 in Intellect, you stick with tier 5, and you just run Gunslinger's Trance, and it basically just takes away Scavenger, which is picking up ammo, reduces the cooldown of your grenade and throwing knife, is why we're switching over to that.
I was just going to say, and you probably don't want to run Scavenger if you're trying to slow down your cooldowns, because that's a huge buff for Gunslingers in terms of getting cooldowns recharged. So,
and then the very last one is Knife Juggler. Throw a knife at an enemy when melee energy is full, and a precision kill will basically reset it. A precision kill immediately recharges it, And we have Knife Juggler already on our melee tree. So precision kills with throwing knife immediately resets cooldown. You can just use that one. You know, it's better than Incendiary Blade because we don't really have an Incendiary Blade variant. Incendiary Blade and Explosive Knife aren't really the exact same thing. And it's definitely better than Circle of Life, which doesn't have an equivalent in D2 and doesn't really serve much purpose, where precision kills with throwing knife reduces Golden Gun's cooldown. Although, that being said, in some, you know, game types, mainly PvE, that's a pretty useful perk for D1. I say we just avoid it here. So if we want a quick summary, use whatever grenade you want, use whatever jump you want. I would probably go with Golden Gun. I would probably go with Gunfighter to reduce the cooldown a little bit. And make sure not to combine that with a tier 5 intellect now, because you're going to really, you know, be in for a little bit of an upsetting moment when you realize your Golden Gun does not cool down nearly that fast. For melee, I would go with Knife Juggler, so precision kill immediately resets its cooldown. For the armor perks and agility perks and recovery perks, those don't really matter. Those are going to be changing with armor anyways, like your actual armor pieces in D2, so pick whatever you want there. In the second to last column, I would go with Gunslinger's Trance, which is precision kills, increased weapon stability, stacks up to 3 times. You're going to see that proc, and just pretend like it's decreasing the cooldown of your Golden Gun. Pretend like you've modified it and you've merged it with Gunfighter, and those two are working together. And then in the last thing, we're going to go with Chain of Woe, precision kills, increased weapon reload speed, stacks up to 3 times. Just pretend like you're helping out your teammates there, because you're really not, but in D2 you will be.
Yeah, that sounds great, man. I think you did an awesome job breaking that down for us.
Just trying to let you guys know what loadouts I'm going to be running, and it's not going to be a fun loadout compared to what we have right now in D1. But like I said, especially if you're in a custom game or something like that, and you're really feeling like you want to start preparing, you're not going to have too many differences between a loadout like that with the weapons I've offered, with what I've told you about armor cooldowns. You're actually not going to see too much of a difference between that and what the Gunslinger felt like to me at Destiny 2's play. So if you want to see what it feels like for yourself, there you go. All right, so let's go ahead and move on to the Striker Titan. So out of all the Titan subclasses, like I said, I'm not really going to play Sunbreaker, because even though it's kind of like Dawncaller, Dawnblade, it's not really the same. Mostly the movement just feels totally different, and I don't think it's going to help you that much to do that. So we're going to talk about the Striker Titan a little bit. Fist of Havoc is totally, totally different. You're not going to be able to get around that at all. Just point blank, you can't do it. You're allowed to smash multiple times, but it's a much smaller smash. You're allowed to also basically shoulder charge, or as they call it, smash shoulder, while you're in Fist of Havoc, which has now like an increased duration. It's not going to be able to happen. You can't replicate that in D1, so you're just going to have to pretend, use your imaginations. Grenades, all the same. Lightning grenades now take time to charge, which I think is an awesome change, but use whatever you want. Jumps, the jumps are the same in the terms of their names only. You no longer can use increased control to Titan Skate, so I would suggest maybe switching to something like Catapult or Increased Height, just so you aren't tempted to Titan Skate, because you're not going to be able to do it. The Towering Barricade, again, you're not going to be able to do it in Destiny, but maybe start trying to take use of that cover mechanic, which is offered for you guys, because the Rally Barricade is actually fantastic for firing from behind cover. So I would say start trying to use cover a little bit more as a Titan. Now we're coming to Code of Juggernaut Tree. Knockout, breaking enemy shields increases your melee range. You're not going to see something like that in Destiny 1. It's, you know, and we could use it. We could definitely use it, because increasing the melee range of a Titan would be something fantastic, but you're just not going to get in Destiny 1. Reversal, melee kills immediately trigger health regeneration. You can basically use Transfusion to get this exact same effect. It triggers on Shoulder Charge or Storm Fist kills. It is in the second to last column, so Transfusion will work for Reversal. Frontal Assault, a powerful melee punch that grants you increased weapon stability. You don't really have anything like that in the subclass perks. There are a couple of, correct me if I'm wrong, but there are a couple of weird, maybe exotic perks where melees grant increased stability, or is that not the case? Nope, it's melees grant increased reload speed. And that's War Machine, yes. And that's on the Defender, so that doesn't matter anyway. So scratch that. You cannot use Frontal Assault. And then Trample, Fist of Havoc lasts longer than Sprinting. killing enemies with Fist of Havoc's Incineration. So basically, three out of those four, you're not going to be able to use in Destiny 1. The only one is Reversal, and that's going to be Transfusion. Then we get to the unnamed tree, Shoulder Charge. After sprinting for a short duration, press R1 to slam shoulder. So obviously, we're going to want to run with Shoulder Charge in that last column, and you're going to be giving up Juggernaut or Unstoppable, but it didn't look like either of those were options anyways. So I would definitely go with Shoulder Charge in the last column. Aftermath, Field of Havoc disorients enemies and leaves a damage-dealing field in its wake. That is something that you can use on your super perk tree. So I would definitely go with Aftermath. Right now, it doesn't disorient enemies. It just leaves damage-dealing in its wake. But that's fine. We'll call it close enough. It says Magnitude, increases duration of Pulse, Lightning Grenades, and Aftermath. Now, if you want to use... If you want to use that, you're basically either going to have to pick between Transfusion or Aftershocks, and I would probably go with Aftershocks just because it looks like if you're going to want to run with Shoulder Charge and Aftermath and Aftershocks, those are all in the same tree, right? So you get those three to begin with on your own. So if you have two of those, you're probably not going to get Reversal anyways. So I would pick Aftershocks, which is in the same column as Transfusion, instead of that. And then Aerial Strike, Fist of Havoc deals more damage the longer it's in the air. We don't have anything like that at all. You know, Death from Above, you can aim stuff while it's in the air, but it's not really the same effect. Or at least we didn't get to see it play, but I don't think it's the same like animation style. So I would probably just stick with Aftermath. So to summarize Striker again, any grenade you want, keep in mind lightning grenades now take time to charge. They don't arm immediately. Jumps, don't use increased control just because you're going to be tempted to Titan Skate and you cannot Titan Skate. I would go with Catapult. For your super, I would go with Aftermath, which leaves the damage dealing field in its wake. For Storm Fist, I don't really think there's anything there that's a deal breaker. Maybe use Amplify or Overload, because there definitely wasn't anything that Storm Fist dealt area of effect damage around it. So Overload reduces the Storm Fist cooldown, and hits with Storm Fist have a chance to immediately reset its cooldown. And then Amplify kills the Storm Fist, significantly reduces the cooldown Fist Havoc. I'd probably run Amplify and then try to run a low intellect build, honestly, is what I would do. Again, armor and recovery don't matter. In the third to last column, you've got choices of Aftershock or Transfusion. Both of those are represented. I would probably use Aftershocks, and then in the last column, I would use Shoulder Charge. Got anything to add about that one, Kit?
I didn't really have anything to throw in there. I guess I would just say I'm psyched to be experimenting with Striker. One rule that I was considering holding myself to, just to see what it feels like, is waiting to use my Shoulder Charge until I get that super, so I can try to get kind of a feel of playing with a multi-slam striker and see what that feels like. But again, that's something that is probably going to be easier to do in a private match than it is in the regular Crucible, where Shoulder Charge is occasionally a fairly risky proposition. So we'll see. But that's just something I'm thinking about trying there.
Let's just go ahead and move on to Dawnblade then. So Dawnblade obviously has the new super. You're not going to be able to get anything close to like this on the Sunsinger. It's just not going to happen because the super is basically a passive super. It's not like the Sunbreaker, but at the same time, you can kind of make it like the Sunbreaker. Now, those Dawnblade, when the blades are thrown, they actually are one-hit kills, and they have an area of effect damage too. And they have quite a decent amount of... They have quite a decent amount of aim assist on them too. I found it very, very easy. So for grenades, even though I was using arc bolt grenades, even though I was using firebolt grenades, because I thought they were probably the decent ones, fusion grenades don't one-shot kill anymore in Destiny 2 when they stick to you. They now do. You have to have done damage to them before them for them to one-shot kill. And solar grenades, I just didn't think they were tremendously, you know, powerful, because we lack the ability now to ignite enemies from your grenades. So I thought solar grenades were just too easy to run away from, basically. So what I would actually do here is I would actually use firebolt grenades, unless you got a trade off to make here. Basically, if you want to just pretend like you don't have a super and you want to run around, use firebolt grenades and just basically ignore your super. And, you know, practice playing the neutral game of the Sunsinger Warlock itself, because it'll be very similar to the neutral game of the Dawnblade Warlock. If you want to practice using the super, I would maybe switch to fusion grenades and pretend like you're throwing fusion grenades as your blades themselves and try to stick people, because you're going to have to get about as close to them as you can. It's going to last about the same, and you're probably going to be able to throw about as many grenades during that super if you use an exotic that speeds up the cooldown during your super, or use an exotic that gives you double fusion grenades.
That's definitely one way to go about it. Now, my idea here, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the Dawnblade has an ability. Was it Angel of Light that it had, or did it have an ability similar to Twilight Garrison where it was dodging to the side in midair?
It actually has both. Okay. So Angel of Light is one of the subclass perks you can choose.
Right.
And then the Twilight Garrison dodge in the air is you actually have two options. We'll talk about those in a minute. But yes, it does have something very similar to that.
So my suggestion here, if you really are psyched about that Dawnblade, if that's the thing that you want to try first, play Sunbreaker now. Because it really looks like what they've done is they've taken the Sunbreaker concept and they've ported it into the Warlock, build, essentially, and essentially made a Warlock version of the Sunbreaker. And so you can play with Twilight Garrison, or you can play with the Titan exotic that gives you Angel of Light that I'm now forgetting the name of.
Empyrean Bellicose.
There we go. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So you can do those things and kind of get that. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. You can get that similar feel to the Dawnblade. Obviously, the movement's going to be a little bit different, but like you already mentioned before, Titan skating is not a thing. So you should not be choosing a jump that's going to really enable that Titan skate, because you don't want to continue to rely on it, right? It's not going to be the powerhouse movement that it is. So start playing as if you had the floof on your Sunbreaker, and I think you'll have the right idea.
Yeah, and we can go right about that right now. So if you want to play as a Sunbreaker and you want to try to pretend to be a Dawnblade, run fusion grenades. That shouldn't be that hard for most of you. Like you said, run maybe increased height or catapult, because you're really not going to be able to use that Titan skate, and you don't even want to be close to, trying to abuse that. For your super, well, shoot, maybe I don't even know what to use. I guess just use Forge Master, throw more hammers. Hammers cause bigger explosions, or maybe use Scorched Earth. It's not a particularly big deal. For Sunstrike, you're going to probably want to use Melting Point, which burns away your target's defenses, and while burning, your targets are weakened to both you and your allies, mostly just for that increased amount of burn damage they do, because, Dawnblade does actually have a powerful melee that ignites enemies and then causes them to explode. Sunstrike, there's nothing really like that. Thermal Vent, there's nothing really like that, where it releases a solar explosion on hit and then creates a sunspot. That's not a thing that Dawnblade has. And then the one, Stoke the Forge, reduces Sunstrike cooldown. Yeah, getting a killing blow with Sunstrike recharges it immediately. That's also not really something that they have either. I'm trying to think. And then in the third thing, we've got Flame Seeker. The Hammer of Soul will alter its flight path to seek out your enemies. Maybe enemies felled by your hammer explode, chaining fiery solar damage to others. You can't really, although I would personally use explosive pyre, you can't really take advantage of that, because the Dawnblade's things did not cause that. They did not cause enemies to chain explosions to each other.
Right.
And then enemies felled by your fire grant your bonus agility and reload speed stacks up to 3 times. I would probably do that, honestly, because Fleet Fire, there's actually a perk for Dawnblade that it's a melee ability that damages enemies while increasing your movement and reload speed. So I would kind of use Fleet Fire.
Similar concept, at least, there. Yeah.
And then the last column, yeah, you've got Simmering Flames, which super energy is full grenade, melee recharge twice as fast. I would not use that.
Definitely
you do not have
not.
Something like that. You've got Cauterize, enemies brought down by your fire regenerate your health, and then you've got Fire Keeper. None of those are really, none of those are really things you can use. I mean, maybe just use Simmering Flames and then just spam your super every single time you get it up. Because while standing in a sunspot, you gain an overshield. That's not something. An enemy is brought down by your flames, regenerating your health. That's not something. So I guess just use Simmering Flames and then, go really low on your discipline and strength, or definitely abuse your super, get it up every time. So again, fusion grenade, either catapult or increased height. We're going to go with Forge Master. We're going to go with Melting Point. We're going to go with Flame Seeker. And then we're going to go with Simmering Flames. And again, it's not going to be super tremendous. Like, it's not going to be exactly like Dawnblade, but if you mix it with either Empyrean Bellicose or Twilight Garrison, you might get something kind of close to it.
Yeah, and I would even say you could go with Firekeeper because you don't see a lot of Sunspot use in the Crucible in general, so you're unlikely to get any benefit from that, especially if you yourself are not making Sunspots. So that you could essentially treat it as a dead perk, which is always unfortunate, right? But it, if we're trying to simulate it, then at the very least you're not giving yourself a powerful ability that you otherwise wouldn't have. And you're also going to avoid any chance of ability spam, which is, I think, a big thing to avoid.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but you can see where we're kind of going here. The Dawnblade is this weird halfway, half, you know, mixing fusion of Sunbreaker and Sunsinger.
Yeah.
You can really see that because, like, one way or the other, you're only going to end up like half and half, basically. You're going to end up being able to play the neutral game of the Sunsinger on the Sunsinger or having to play the super game of the Dawnblade, you know,
on the Sunbreaker.
On the Sunbreaker. Yeah. That's just the way it's going to work. But yeah, I mean, back to the actual Sunsinger itself, I would probably run Fusion Grenades. Use whatever jump you want. Remember, you can't Warlock Surf anymore, just like with the Titan, so don't even try to do it. Maybe use Balance Glide for that. I'm pretty sure that prevents you from being able to come even close to Warlock Surfing. For the Super, do not use Fireborn. Do not do it. You cannot self-res in Destiny 2. Don't even try to. I would probably just, you know, you can use Radiant Skin because you do get an armor boost when you go into Dawnblade. So you can use Radiant Skin to do that. That's probably what I would choose would be Radiant Skin.
That was my thought as well. Definitely.
Yeah. And then, you know, so moving on, Attunement of the Sky is the first perk tree that we can go to. You got Igniting Touch. It's a powerful melee that ignites enemies and causes them to explode. You know, for us, probably Brimstone is what we're going to use because killing enemies with Scorch causes them to explode. So I'd probably select that. Again, armor, agility, recovery, those things are not mattering. Risen Angel, while in the air, aim your weapon to hover in place for a short time. Dealing precision damage extends this effect. That is actually something we can do on the Sunsinger itself. That would be Angel of Light. It's in the last slot, which is not super useful in Destiny 1. You tend to get picked off a lot. In Destiny 2, I actually found it was pretty useful. It was pretty nice to be able to do. Maybe because there's not as much special weapon ammo running around, I didn't think I was going to get sniped out of the air, which was good. So Risen Angel becomes Angel of Light. Skyfire, when Daybreak is active, Descend causes explosive damage when you land. That's not something you're going to be able to replicate in D1 because Sunsingers don't have Descend, which is you press OO and you drop from the sky and you basically slam onto the ground and immediately start recovery, which is really, really awesome. Sorry, it's hold down O is what you do.
That's awesome.
And that's because of the next perk, which is Phoenix Dive, which is hold O while in air to quickly descend and regenerate health. So that's actually a really awesome perk. It was tremendously useful. I loved it. But wait till we get into the next perk tree because then you get some crazy stuff. So we got Firestarter, a powerful melee ability that damages enemies while also increasing your movement and reload speed. There's not really anything like that that you can use. So just forget about that one. Wildfire, engage your enemies mid-flight. Fire weapons and throw grenades while gliding. Basically, it's very similar to Angel of Light, except for instead of freezing you in place in midair, you just continue your glide without dropping to the ground when you are firing and throwing grenades. So it allows you a little bit more mobility, but you're still accurate in air. I think that might be pretty cool, but I just stick with Angel of Light for now. And then Blazing Dash, press OO while midair to dodge. That is basically the Twilight Garrison that you were talking about for the Sunsinger, which is pretty awesome. But we don't have anything like that, so you can't use it. And then Everlasting Flames, killing an enemy with Daybreak extends duration. Again, just ignore that. So again, what we talked about wanting to do, you're going to want to run probably Fusion Grenades, an exotic that either decreases their cooldown or gives you two of them. One of the jumps that does not allow you to Warlock Surf, I suggest Balance Glide. You're going to want to run Radiant Skin for the Super, Brimstone for the Melee. And the next slot, we've got Radiant Will, which increases the duration of Radiance, Viking Funeral, which targets afflicted with Ignite damage, take more damage from all sources, and Sunburst, killing a man with Scorch generates an Orb of Light. Definitely use Radiant Will to increase the duration of Radiance, that way you can throw more grenades during it. Pretend like you're throwing more blades themselves. And then in the last column, we're definitely using Angel of Light to float up in the air, and bam, you got yourself a poor man's Dawnblade right there.
Done, yeah. Put a pin in that one. That actually really sounds like a lot of fun to kind of start getting used to. I'm really looking forward to getting my hands on a Dawnblade. It's just so many awesome abilities that are completely different from anything we've seen so far in Destiny 1. So that is really exciting. I think did we just burn through all the classes that quick? I think we did.
Yes, we did. We killed it. We crushed out, and we're trying to keep this short. We might have even kept it under an hour. Look at us.
Holy cow. You don't hear that from Massive Breakdown too often, but I guess you might call this a holiday mini breakdown. I did want to throw – I threw together just a short list of general subclass perks to avoid. If you're not going to go quite this hardcore, if you don't want to really break it down as thoroughly as we did, some general things I wanted to throw out to avoid – And you can add any that I miss. Blink, I have not seen any sign of Blink in Destiny 2. So if you're running a Voidwalker because you are looking forward to trying that out first thing, and hopefully, you know, we'll see some more about how that works, don't use Blink. Again, Blade Dancer, don't use Blink. If you're just kind of trying to get used to relying more on your primaries and less on your grenades, you might actually decide to avoid using sticky grenades altogether. They are super powerful right now in Destiny 1, very, very handy for boosting your KD, but they're not going to be those one-hit trade machines in Destiny 2. So you might try to wean yourself off that crutch if you've been using it. Obviously, self-res we already covered. Titan Skating we already covered. Just worth reiterating, It's a crutch you're going to have to get used to not having. I'm going to have some Titans hate me for calling it a crutch, but, I mean, it's only a crutch because it's super useful. So, and for Hunters, if you decide that you want to keep playing Night Stalker for as long as you can in case it doesn't come back, but you do want to start getting into that Destiny 2 mindset, maybe just try to moderate your use of Shade Step or consider using Keen Tracker or Predator instead, depending on the situation. I run Predator in PvE a ton because I love making orbs for my teammates. So I don't even rely on Shade Step probably 90% of the time. You might start weaning yourself off that little dodge. It's probably not going to be nearly as frequent as it is right now. And that is about all I have.
Oh, I actually have one more thing. Use the artifact, Jolder's artifact, because there's no sprint lock in Destiny 2. So just use Jolder's the entire time. I forgot to mention that earlier.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
This is news to me right here on the podcast. I had somehow missed that little tidbit.
Yep, there you go.
Fantastic. I already use Jolder's all the time anyway. So.
Yep. And as a Sunsinger, if you are wanting to run with that, you know, throwing fusion grenades thing, you can use Heart of Praxic Fire, which gives you increased cooldowns while in Radiance. I would probably use that because the alternative is Starfire Protocol, which gives you double fusions. And like Kutch just said, the fusions are not going to work the same way in Destiny 2, and I would not want to be taking advantage of those when I'm not in my super. The only reason we're using fusions on the Sunsinger right now is so we can pretend like we're throwing Dawnblades. And if you've got double fusions when you're outside of your Radiance, you're cheating, and you know full well you are, and that's not going to help you get better at Destiny 2. All right, you think we're good to go then?
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you had any more, but I have to sign off.
Nope, that's it for me.
Cool. Well, fantastic. That was actually a bite-sized episode for once.
Yep. Thank you guys for tuning in, Guardians. I hope you really appreciated our tips and hopefully tricks to get you prepped for D2, or at least the D2 beta, while still playing D1. We know some of it's a little challenging. We know some of it may not be as much fun as you want, but I hope you see the benefit to, you know, maybe making yourself get a little bit used to the way D2 systems work before D2 even comes out. That being said, Kid Kutcha, do you have anything else to add?
No, I just want to wish again a happy Memorial Day to my fellow Americans and to anybody listening overseas. You know, just remember to take a moment on the appropriate day for your country to thank those who have served and given their lives. It's an amazing thing, and we've all got to be grateful. One last business note for us. Just want to let everybody know that the DestinyMassiveBreakdowns.com website is going to be seeing a cosmetic upgrade in the near future. So look for that in sometime in the next month here. You'll be seeing that go live. And maybe some other fun web or social news to follow down the road. Otherwise, thanks for listening. Love you guys, and peace out.
All right. Thank you very much. And we'll see you guys next week. And oh, and don't forget to tune in to the Destiny Tracker Podcast Network. Got a ton of great Destiny podcast right there. Always give them a listen. Always give them a shout out. And besides that, we'll see you guys next week. Bye.